notorious, so notorious. Happy Tuesday evening, Alex. It's 7:23 p.m. in beautiful San Diego. How are you doing tonight?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Great, great.
So you started a story on Saturday talking about the fasting you were doing. How did that work out for you?
Well, I broke it after 72 hours, which is what you have to do. 72 hours of drinking only water. Only water. The result is I lost weight, which wasn't really, it's like almost a benefit. I did it for health reasons. It's kind of like rebooting your system. But the after effect, I'm a big coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. I love coffee. As a, as a
Me too.
As a Cuban that was raised on coffee.
And coffee's good for you.
Yeah, it is. It is, except I can't drink it now. I tried to drink it yesterday. I tried to drink it today. I can't drink it. So that's what one thing
What does that mean, you can't drink it?
My body rejects it. I took a sip and I can't drink it.
Huh.
That's the first weird part. Second, I have a tremendous amount of energy. I always have high energy, but even more now. So it's like really cool. And also mental clarity. It's just sharp as a knife. I really feel it's one of the greatest things I've done for my body. And you work out, you feel great. I think I worked out my intestines and my immune system, everything. And I strongly recommend anybody, it's going to be grueling, but it's going to be one of the most rewarding things you do in your life to do this 3-day water fast, the USC fasting. That's amazing.
I have never fasted in my life, so.
Well, I've, people do it all over the world for religious reasons, for health. But let me tell you, it really does work. It's fantastic. And I could tell you, I strongly recommend it. So give it a shot. And another weird thing, Scott, salt. I don't put salt in any of my food, but I had a packaged food that came pre-salted, obviously. And I couldn't even eat it. It was so salty. And the fruits that I eat are, ever since, I began more of a vegan diet, that has happened. But this intensified it like 20 times over.
Yeah, so, I noticed salt significantly too, because not only did I go plant-based, but I have almost religiously, I don't know if that's the right metaphor, but cut down on salt and am aware of all the things I purchase, the amount of content.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the things like beans, that there are no salt added versions of canned beans even out there. And so now when I eat something that has salt in it, I immediately know this has a lot of salt in it.
Yeah, yeah. This just intensified all the taste of, I had an apple, it was the sweetest thing. Everything's intensified. It's amazing. It was just a great experience, and I'm flying high. I'm in an ether right now, just totally positive.
Oh.
So there you go.
That's a unique thing to share with our Dolphins out there.
Well, it's it helps me survive the season, I think, I hope. So what's been going on with you?
In another non-football-related story, I had sort of an interesting discovery, right? I'll end up recommending a book here at the end, right? So... Mm-hmm. I participate in a monthly call with the Agile Alliance. I'm an Agile coach by profession. And so, that's one organization that, runs a sort of a monthly webinar call type of situation. And they record the first hour as a podcast. And so the last few times, I've been participating in that, and, it was a bunch of interesting topics, and, I ended up speaking some amount during this call, so I'm on their podcast this time around. So just in case you don't hear my voice enough here, then you can go to the Agile Alliance monthly coaching call podcast or whatever that thing is called, and hear me just in a little bit in there too, talking about some stuff. But the host was talking about a culture of yes, and I thought that was an interesting topic, right? There's a whole lot of like agile values and principles that you want to teach to in a professional environment. It's one of the things I do. And, but this idea of a culture of yes, and he goes, well, I'll take it a step further. It's not only a culture of yes that you kind of want to promote. It's that whole idea of yes, and which is an idea and a philosophy around comedy. And I said, that's an interesting point. And not just any comedy, but improvisational comedy. And I got to think, I've been to a few improvisational theaters, and I see how that sort of works. Somebody will say something wacky, and the other person, they'll kill the subject if they don't agree with it or say no, right? Mm-hmm. They have to say yes. But the point is to say yes and. And so they'll build on top of it with something else wacky, and it just keeps kind of going off in that direction. And so he quoted a book, right? He said, there's a book by Tina Fey. And in the back of my head, I was kind of like, Tina Fey, Saturday Night Live. And mm-hmm. I asked about it, and they're like, he's like, yes. And I'm looking up the book, and I'm like, you mean the book Bossy Pants? That's the name of the book, Bossy Pants, right? And so he's like, yes, that is the name of the book. And so I added that to my list, and I ended up seeing it being on Audible. And I had subscribed to Audible, so I grabbed on my Audible list. I added it to my thing, and I just was in the mood for a little comedy the other day. And so hoping that it was a book that was around that whole culture of writing for comedy, because really she was a writer for Saturday Night Live, and then ended up doing a lot of the actors, but her primary job was mm-hmm. writing for that. So mm-hmm. I started listening to the book, and I think it's a book that's written for women. It kind of highlights and strengthens and empowers.
So you got in touch with your feminine side. And
that was not the intent, right?
That's okay.
I did it
that's
because
okay.
it was my agile
that's
coaching.
Totally
thing.
Cool. Totally
but
cool.
I was thinking about my wife. I was thinking about, I have two daughters. I was thinking about my daughters and uh-huh. how it could be empowering in some ways for them to hear this story.
Cool.
And she talks about her father a lot. So almost like he's a character in the book, Don Fay. And so Don Fay did this, and he does that, and he thinks this, and he does that. And I found it like really valuable, and I was really entertained by the book. So I would recommend the book. There's even a little bit
did
of business.
Did you listen to the whole book?
I am not done with the book yet. I'm about three quarters.
Okay. Would you give it away? You tell us what is Bossy Pants?
Well, it may have something to do with her leaving Saturday Night Live and starting up the show 30 mm-hmm. Rock and being like the head person or whatever for 30 Rock, but actually I can't answer that question
very
well yet.
You have no idea. Okay.
I'm reaching. Yes.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
In the music area, I've uh-huh. got another concert coming up. I'm going to see Jeff Tate, the original lead singer for Queensryche, at a small venue on Thursday with my wife. Looking forward to that.
Super nice. Yeah. I haven't seen a concert in a while. I got to catch up with you. You're like rocking out.
Yep.
So, time to visit our dolphins, huh?
It is. It's time to get on that dolphin subject.
All right.
So, should we start out with what we have to say about the latest debacle, the Cowboys game?
Sure.
All right. Well, the first thing I wanted to take notes on was just to see what the coaching staff was doing with the starting situation. Because like last Saturday, we talked about the difference between Balazs and Drake, right?
And Drake got the start.
And so Drake got the start. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think they listened to us and they started him, and then he effed it up a little bit.
Yeah, he looked quicker. He looked a lot quicker than Balazs the whole game. He looked decisive in his runs. Just a much better back right now. Balazs is just not working out at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Drake got the start, and right away we see, one go right through his hands. Also I thought it was funny that we gave Sanders an A grade on our evaluation of the draft.
And then he misses the first,
and
field
then he
goal.
Misses the first field goal. So leaves 3 points on the field there.
Yeah, that's par for the course, yeah.
Okay. We talked about getting Taco.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, we'll drum him out there for sure.
And he did.
And sure enough, he got the start.
Yep.
Right? There he was. And he even got a sack.
Yeah, he right? looked, you know, he's obviously a you know, he was the number one draft choice. I mean, let's hope this kid works out. He's young. Talented.
Well,
something happened in Dallas, but For in our team, he could
they
be
said
a superstar.
He had a low motor, right?
Well, he had a high motor that game, thank God.
Yeah, so, well, you know, maybe a fire's been lit under him and he can turn into something that would be wonderful. I don't have any high expectation around that area, but, you know, there's always the possibility, the potential. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what we were going to do about the missing Minka, right? Who's going to play safety for us? And then I see this guy running around out there, Stephen Parker, and maybe I had a brain fart. I couldn't remember who the heck Stephen Parker was. I had to, on a break, go, like, pull up my Dolphins website to look up Stephen Parker.
Yeah.
There's no point to that story. I always consider it to be a screwed up situation when there's a Dolphin player running around on the field. I don't know who he is. It bothers me, right? We're podcasters. We cover the Dolphins, and I make it a point to know, you know, at least know everyone's on the roster. Jeff reached out to us and said, you know, who's number 47? And I quickly answered him with...
Jeffrey is one of our friends in the...
In that tech circle that we have. And so I knew her off the bat and I answered him, no problem. But when I myself don't know who somebody is, it's a little bit of a head scratcher for me. And so maybe this is me getting old. I don't know. I thought the D played pretty well in the first half. I think
they
some
did.
Of...
I mean, the score was 10-6, Scott.
I think
we played well.
I can't put all the credit on the D.
We should have been leading in the first half.
I think they came out a little like they took us for granted. They're going to be a Swiss cheese, a pullover. They weren't in rhythm.
No, we were going to roll. We were just going to roll over for
right.
them.
So I think some of it was them being not ready to go. Or not mentally.
Yeah, not very professional.
Yeah.
Not New England-like.
But I also don't want to, not just come out and destroy us from beginning to end like, you know, we have seen already this season because we're so outmatched. So I got to ask you, because I thought it was murder, what did you think of that hit on Allen Hurns?
Well, two things. Number one, I love my U guys, and, you know, Hurns is a guy I was cheering for that respect, just to make our team and play well. It was dirty as hell.
It was helmet to helmet, clear as day. Whether he was going for the ball or not, isn't the defender responsible for not making helmet to helmet contact?
No penalty.
No flag. Has there been a fine? Have you followed that at all?
Zero that I've heard of.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything either.
But by the way, Rosen got mistreated a couple of times and no penalty.
He started to slide and that guy came in and just smacked his head against the ground and there was nothing there either. I thought you were protected when you slid. That it was basically a no contact situation. Don't you remember last year when Kiko like got all... when he did that on and basically hurt the Baltimore quarterback, Flacco. And it was basically rightly so. Even if he tried to miss, he didn't miss. He nailed them.
Yeah. But the bottom line is in our team, if we're not getting any respect nationally anyway because of, well, we deserve it, but also the refs are not giving us one call. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Just like let them go. Let's mail it in like everyone else is mailing it in.
I guess maybe that's what they're doing.
Kind of feels like that, doesn't it?
Get around to the drops pretty soon, Scotty.
Okay. Well, I was bothered quite a bit, and this is more evidence on Balazs. It was 1st and 5, and we gave him the ball 3 times in a row, and he could not get it across the goal line.
I don't know if...
Is that a function of him?
No,
or is
our
that
line.
The offensive line?
It's both. But, I mean, Balazs is not running with authority, which he did last year. I mean, at least for what we saw.
Yeah, the little bits we saw.
And this year he's not. And I thought he was going to, you know, at least move the pile something, and he's not doing that at all. And our offensive line obviously is getting beat to the punch. I mean, we're getting hit in the backfield. It's pretty sad. So I think it's both at this stage with him.
Yep. It was nice to see an interception by McCain. I was bothered on that play because literally – Dak faded back. He took a cup of coffee out of his pocket. He poured the coffee.
Yeah.
He sipped the coffee. And then finally he tried to force it downfield, and at least McCain made a play.
Yeah, he had like 6 seconds back there. And
it was nuts.
Yeah.
Yep. And I thought it was very interesting to finally see we're in the middle of the second quarter and we had more offensive yards than they did. We were moving the ball, mm-hmm. which is something that we had not done for an entire quarter or quarter and a half yet this year. Mm-hmm. And Dallas's defense is not a slouch. They're not a bad defense.
They're not a bad defense.
So that's Rosen, wouldn't you say?
Rosen, mostly? I thought Rosen, again, I mean, Rosen should have, what, four touchdowns this year, three touchdowns?
All the drops, they're just, let's get on the drops.
Okay, the drops.
I think we left 17 points on the field in the first half in that game. Two touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, we could have been easily up by, you know, 16 points, 17 points.
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How shocked would the nation have been if we reached that state? I think they still...
Forget the nation. I would have been in shock.
All of us would have been in shock.
I would have been...
If people could do their damn job and catch the effing ball.
That was my third day of the fasting thing, and I would have been jumping up and down, running around my house. Because listen, as much as we want that number one draft choice...
Jumping up and down, running around and saying...
We're number one!
I'm in the delusional part of this fasting period.
Yeah.
I'm seeing things that aren't real.
Yeah, definitely. I'm reaching some other state of mental alertness or something. No, it really would have been awesome because I was saying, as much as we want that number one draft choice, and at this stage we've done everything to obtain that, I think it's hard or impossible for me not to root for our team to win.
It is for me too.
It's impossible.
You know, we understand the strategy.
We understand.
We know the teardown. We know the value that we've gotten.
And we bought into it.
And we basically agreed with it without cheering for the tank, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to game time, I want to see the team fight. I want to see the team struggle. I want to see the team do the best that they can do and try to win every time.
You want to see heart and you want to see not what we've been seeing in the second half. Which is we have been outscored 62-0 in the second half.
Yes. They just came out and said, okay, that's enough.
Now
we're going to roll over you now. And that's exactly what they did.
And Scott, you've been giving good props or more props than I have to Flores because right now, I mean, Flores talks a good game, but I don't see a good game, but whatever. I know he doesn't have much to work with, so I'm giving him a hall pass for sure for this season. But he did say, I got to do a better job of adjusting for the second half.
Yeah.
And duh, yeah, of course you do. When you're outscored 62-0 for the season.
That's crazy. Those
really
are crazy
bad.
Numbers.
Those are really bad. And by the way, before we go on to the second half, on Preston's Williams catch, what did you see on that?
I saw him catch the ball. I saw him bring it in. It looked like he had possession. Then I saw the defender poke it out. That's what I saw.
Did he make a football move, in your opinion?
I think, here's what I think. I think if they'd called it a touchdown and reviewed it, it would have stayed a touchdown. But they didn't call it a touchdown, and then they reviewed it, and so they would not, well, they didn't review it. Did they review it? We didn't throw a flag.
It was in the last 2 minutes.
But
so I think
they automatically review it.
They reviewed it for something. I don't know
what
for what.
And they didn't. It was one of those situations where they weren't going to change the call because there wasn't enough clarity around it. And I pretty much, that's what I think about it.
I think it was a touchdown.
As a Dolphins fan, I thought it was a touchdown.
I thought it was a touchdown.
Too,
but. And Parker, that drop was pathetic.
Zipping across the middle.
Wide
pretty
open.
Much open to the end
he
zone.
He would have walked in.
On the, 5-yard line or 7-yard
mm-hmm.
line or something?
Five, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then, of course...
Just a shit, horrible thing to see, a drop like that.
And then Drake fumbling.
And
you called it Balazs. You go, Balazs fumble. You
I
hate
did.
Balazs. But
I don't hate him.
You rag on him a lot.
Yeah.
I've been too. I liked him a lot until this season. I don't know what happened.
My analysis was simple but clear. When I talked about it last Saturday, it was he does not seem to have the ability to make the first person miss, whether it's breaking the tackle or making them miss. And that's why I thought Drake should get the start because at least he can get out of the backfield sometimes.
Yeah.
Because he's shifty.
No, Drake looked quicker. He, like I said earlier, he really is our lead back. He has to be. But our wide receivers.
If we really are trying to
trade him,
then let's keep value for him. Well, you know?
Yeah, well, keep showcasing him.
Yeah.
Our wide receivers need to help Rosen out. It's really sad out there. You know, we lead the NFL in drops. We are in right now.
It doesn't. I didn't know that, but it does not surprise me for 1 second.
And you may be taking my. I don't know if I'm taking your thunder. I know you have this article you want to share, but I know the Dolphins are on record pace for drops.
Yeah, well, the record, the article I'm going to reference doesn't specifically reference that.
I'm glad it didn't.
So,
because at least we, you know, I didn't want to take that thunder from you, but we are now at a record pace for drops.
Mm-hmm.
That's unreal. I thought one of the strengths of our team was the starting to shape like our wide receivers. We started to look that way. We had this young phenom that we found in the free agency. Parker looked like he was coming around again for the 10th time. And Grant got paid all that money.
Yes, and has been a flop.
And he's been terrible.
Yep.
And Wilson...
is hurt.
Is hurt. But, yeah, it's pretty sad what we've been seeing out of this receiving court. And that statistic of being on record pace with drops,
yeah,
that's inexcusable.
It has to be fixed.
What is that, Scott?
It has to be coached. It has to be practiced.
That's coaching, right?
Yeah, I if it was one person doing it, I'd say it's the person. If it's everyone doing it, it feels like coaching to me.
Yeah, it's like they're competing who drops the damn ball more.
Ugh.
You know? So, yeah, that's sad.
All right, so here's what I have to say about the second half. Pretty much nothing, Alex. The second half was nothing.
Yeah, it's a big zero, donut. Yep. Yeah, same way here. I got nothing to say.
I have a few notes. I said offense imploding, Grant drops punt, drops everywhere. I can't stand the drops. Two passes in a row, batted down, blah, blah, blah. And then I just stopped taking notes because the second half was unwatchable. It was a complete, utter, total ass-whipping disaster.
I mean, we were 10-6, and we ended up with 6, and they ended up with whatever, 32.
Yeah.
And whatever the score was. It's just bad. It's, again, that 62-0, we have to see an improvement there.
Yep.
We have to.
You have to play a whole game. We have to take advantage of those few opportunities we get and actually score some damn points. I thought we were going to score a touchdown in this game, and I was certain several times in the first half we were going to score a touchdown, and we did not. So let's move on from the Dallas game. That's enough.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
It's so hard.
So we have a touch more potentially negativity. I wasn't even sure I wanted to talk about this article. Eric, one of our other old man text Dolphin Circle friends, sent an Apple News article that's really Apple pulled out of the Washington Post. So
I did not read because I knew I just...
Well, that it's so, I mean, you know, I've already seen this picture of the two Dolphins with the bags over their heads.
Yeah, that's
in
what,
other
that's what
articles.
I saw, yes.
So it kind of reused that picture for this. And it says, analysis, Dolphins could be the worst team in NFL history. To give credit where credit is due, it's by Neil Greenberg.
All right, okay. What did Neil have to say about why? I know we're gonna have the most drops, and we're gonna go 0-16. What else?
So he did some mathematical analysis, and you know how I am with
Yeah.
Well, you're the stats guy, but
I'm
the proof guy. I need studies. I need results. I need scientific evidence of things. And I started, even though it's all pretty much negative, digging into the analysis that he did. So based on the 0-3 start that the Dolphins have, here is the odds right now, or the percent chance of us going 0-16. It's currently calculated.
What, based on 100?
Yes, based on 100% chance.
I would say 99%.
Well, 17%.
What are you talking about?
It's based on the statistics of the possibility of wins over the course of our schedule.
Can I take that bet?
I'm not offering the bet. I'm telling you what the article says.
And I can tell you right now that's
I thought
ludicrous.
It was interesting.
Yes, and not only it's not even interesting, it's ludicrous.
Okay.
We have had not even a remote chance of winning a football game. We have no offensive line, no defensive line.
I know all these things, and we've talked about all these things.
Yeah, and we're going to win a game. Who are we going to beat?
Okay. Just to carry it a little further, okay, and then I'll answer your question.
Okay.
The
Jets.
A 35% chance of 1-15. Oh. A 30% chance of 2-14, and it all goes massively downhill from there. So it adds up to 100%, right? You know, greater than 6-10 is less than 1%.
I would bet that 17% everything.
I'm not going to take that bet. I'm not.
No, that's fine. I don't want it to happen. Then, I want us to win a game, and I want it to be against the Jets.
There's a lot more writing, and it's, you know, talking about stuff, and it leads into the next chart, which I also found interesting or fascinating on the analysis wise. And I haven't really dug into the math behind it to see how we came up with the probabilities, but I just think it's interesting. And so you can tell me this is full of crap too. So he analyzes every game and gives us a percent chance for winning that particular game. So like this weekend, we have a 4% chance to beat the Chargers.
Okay.
Which seems like, you know, any really weird given Sunday thing, maybe 4% chance is not.
No, we do not have a 4% chance.
There's no such thing as a 0% chance,
though.
We have a
1% chance.
Yeah. All right, well, okay. But against the Redskins, we have a 16% chance.
Where's that game at? Well, it doesn't really matter because we don't have a home field advantage anymore. Fans are cool. What do you think? How many fans we're going to have at this game Sunday?
Oh, I haven't the first inkling to guess. I would base it on the previous two home games
and subtract from that. You got to do an eyeball test because you can't go.
It's not
by,
just the empty seats; it's the number of people that are wearing other uniform or
you just can't go by the old in attendance today.
Yeah,
because that's never real.
That's never real. Also.
Never real.
Yeah.
I say if we get 35,000, is huge.
Yeah, that'd be more than I expected.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay. And of those people, it's certainly half or less than half actually Dolphins fans, and probably representation from the other team that happens to be living in or visiting South Florida.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if you had to guess. Which game on our entire schedule, which we have the
Jets.
Yes. Our percentage chance of winning the home game against the Jets is listed at 40%.
But I'll give you an interesting statistic. The last rated offense in the NFL.
Is not us.
It's
there is an offense worse than us.
J-E-T-S. Suck, suck, suck. That's the number one. That's the number one last offense in the NFL.
I
mean,
so
Gase is going to come up with
funny.
All his cockamamie
Gase
excuses.
Gase is just the worst coach. We said he was the worst coach.
Okay. I know we're talking Dolphins here. I'll get you get back to the article, but just on Gase real quick. When he threw that little backward pass on 4th and 11 or whatever, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
Classic.
And I was on Twitter right around that time, and I saw an eruption of tweets and retweets around that, you know, furious Jets fans. What? Why is he doing that? And all the Dolphins fans retweeting, ha, 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 we told you. This is what he does.
Yeah. The guy's amazing. I mean, the Jets look right now, and so funny. They have a great running back, right? They have decent, supposedly they had a good offensive line. I don't know what the hell's happened there.
Yeah, Redskins game is a home game, by the way.
Oh, us against the Redskins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the Jets have a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and yet they're missing their quarterback, but so is the rest of the NFL, but at least 5 or 6 teams are, and they're competing.
Yeah.
The Jets are not competing.
Right.
That's just good to see.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, go keep going.
So if you had to pick the second highest percent chance of winning on our schedule, who do you think that would be?
Oh, the Patriots, of course. Second highest, Buffalo?
Nope.
Okay.
No. At the Bills, we have a 2% chance of winning.
The Bills at home?
When the Bills come to town, it's still a 2% chance. They have a good defense.
They gave us a better chance of beating the Chargers. Are those guys on drugs? This guy's on drugs.
The Bills have a way better defense than the Chargers do, man. It bears out.
Forget defense. We won't score on anybody.
Yeah. Well, we can't score. We haven't faced a bad defense yet, dude.
What?
We haven't faced a bad defense yet. We have not faced a bad defense yet.
The Cowboys are not exactly world beaters. They barely touched our quarterback.
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time arguing about that.
Yeah, nah.
So the second game on the schedule with the highest percent chance, can you get it?
No, I don't.
All right, the Jets.
What? Jets and Jets?
Yes.
That's hysterical.
At the Jets, 29% chance of winning. I just thought that was so funny. I mean, we even talked about it. We're like, well, you know, if we win a game, who is it that we want to beat more than anyone else? Well,
could it be something if the damn Jets actually end up with a better record? I mean, more losses than us. That'd be hysterical.
Oh, boy. Well, right now, I was listening
to... Not good for us, I guess.
No, it's not.
But it's still funny.
I was listening. I don't listen to Big O every day, but I heard like one part of one segment from him today, driving home. So, and that part was and I actually saw it on Twitter from somebody else as well. And that was, if the season ended right now, we would have the third pick in the draft.
How the hell can that be?
Because there's other 0-3 teams, and the next thing is based on strength of schedule. And we have a harder schedule than the Jets do, and we have a harder schedule than the Bengals do. And so, therefore, Jets would be one, Bengals would be two, and we would be three in the draft. So we cannot lose more games than the Jets. We cannot if you know, we're going to have the first pick in the draft.
Well, they won't take a quarterback.
Who knows what the hell they would do.
I know. You got Gase over there.
Yes, completely douchebaggingly unpredictable with bad leadership and bad. No way of knowing what they would do.
Yeah, no idea. Okay.
Yep. Worst team in the league, worst team in the league. Those are the statistics from that article I wanted to talk about. We can move on from the article. I don't,
sure.
You know, it's definitely not a positive. I will do whatever it takes. I'm still hungry. I'll make every one of you pay. I'm still hungry. So I wanted it to be done talking about Minkah. We got a first-round draft pick for him. He's off to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh we're rooting for them to lose. And, in fact, they're 0-3. They lost to the 49ers. But Minkah's performance, it was one of those things
unreal.
That made me throw up in my mouth again.
You know,
again.
Scott, I was watching the game. I told you a little bit about this earlier, but I was watching the game, and I was watching it on DirecTV with the four screens, and I'm listening to one of the games, right?
Yep.
And I'm watching this 39 guy all over the field. And I'm going, who the hell is that guy? Because I'm used to seeing 29.
Right. He was 29 for the Dolphins.
So I'm kind of looking for him. And then I see the tip ball interception. And I see it's Minkah. And I go, oh, my God. This guy, right place at the right time, playmaker.
Sure.
But then the game goes on, a sack, a quarterback pressure, costing a fumble. He was all over the place.
Well, he wasn't credited with a sack.
He wasn't credited with the pressure.
Right.
Okay. He really, he
These
he
are
almost
his statistics.
He almost got a sack. Yeah, read the statistics.
Okay. Four solo tackles.
Wow.
One assist. One forced fumble. One interception. One pass defensed.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Free safety, right?
Yep.
There you go. There you go.
That's better than any performance he ever had, single performance, in a Dolphins uniform.
Even better than that game?
Even
that
better
he had
than
the
pick six
the
game.
The pick six game?
Yep.
Yeah, probably so, because that was about his highlight for that
yep.
game. It's just, it
He practiced with them three times.
I don't think.
Three times.
And they put him in one position that he obviously shined in, and that's it.
That is, you know, I've been the benefit of the doubt for the coaching staff, but that
yeah, more than I have,
way more than you,
way more.
And that one warning sign right there is like, oh shit,
it's scary.
It is scary.
It's scary as hell. Because that here's the thing: we're now looking at a top 10 pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but to get what, a possible replacement of this guy? I mean,
yeah.
Come on,
can you do as well as?
Can you do as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't really
We're not going to pick a safety, though.
No, what I'm saying is it just doesn't look well for our coaching staff that we could, like we talked about it last week.
You couldn't make that work.
And you couldn't coach him up.
Put him in the position to succeed, which is what we talked about. Yeah,
and that's what a coach does.
Yeah.
A good manager in business, a good coach, he puts you in a position to succeed, to win.
Yep.
And this kid was left out there.
I taught a class, that my Agile Overview class yesterday, and I used the Dolphins as an example. I don't know. I was just so angry. This is how you do not. You need to put people on your teams in position to succeed. And so adapting the Agile, you know, methodologies and principles will help create a healthy organization. And your objective is to take all your people on your teams and put them in your position. This is something the Dolphins are not doing right now.
And this is something that's not
practiced.
People
are looking
at
me like, you know, oh boy.
You know, I looking forward to this weekend's game, I mean, San Diego, I mean, that's a city we live in.
Right.
They have a pretty good team.
You can't call them San Diego. Stop calling them San Diego.
Oh, that's right. I called them San Diego, didn't I?
Fail.
Yeah, the Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The LA Chargers. Let's call them the Chargers. Okay,
yes,
the Chargers,
that is their name.
The Chargers are going down there, and I think the Chargers are going to, you know, I can't see them losing this game.
No, me either.
Impossible.
Yeah. They lost at home to Houston.
That's Houston. That's a good team.
Yeah, the Laramie Tunsil-led Houston Oilers. I said the Oilers. Yes, I need
there
to drink
go.
More beer.
There
yes.
you go.
Wow.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm old.
There you go.
Yes, Texans. I can get it right.
Yeah, now you're going to be calling the Dallas Texans.
Yeah.
That'll really be old.
Yep.
But no, the we normally have the Chargers number. Throughout the years, we have been beating them recently
yes.
a lot.
Yes.
They're going to get even with us this Sunday.
Yeah.
It's going to be they're going to unload on us. Matter of fact, if you're a fantasy player and you enjoy winning, like you and I are fantasy players.
Are we segueing into our new segment, our fantasy segment?
We might as well. I will do whatever it takes. I'm still hungry. I'll
make every one of you pay. I'm still hungry. All right.
One, two.
Alex is a quote-unquote expert fantasy player.
I wouldn't say expert.
And so he has some tips. And because the season is what it is, this was not ever intended to be a fantasy podcast. But we talked about it and we said, you know, talking about the Dolphins is in many ways a big downer, even when we're trying to identify positive things that we see. So let's do a fantasy segment to give some tips and tricks. And
Here's my first advice, guys.
Okay.
Don't play any Dolphins.
Yeah, well. Okay?
Don't play any Dolphins. Do not play our defense. Mike Williams, if anybody has
I gave somebody the advice last week to figure out defenses that are playing against the Dolphins offense.
Well,
and if
yeah.
they're available, grab them and start them.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody in the world is doing that.
So now we have two teams that we can do that with, the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep.
But anyway, if you have Mike Williams, I think Williams is going to destroy us. And I know everybody's saying Allen.
Well, X will go on Allen.
But X is going to go on Allen,
yep.
and he's slow him down.
Yep.
And Rivers is going to have so much time to pass.
Yes.
That he's going to be able to look downfield for
yes.
Williams.
Yep.
I think Williams is easy 120, one touchdown and seven, eight catches.
I can see that.
That's what I'm predicting.
I would not argue against you for a second.
And I don't know where people are going to rate him this year. I would rate him as a top 10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's a fantasy tip that's really going to help other people in the sense that only people that already have Mike Williams will know whether to play him or not.
Yeah,
he's not going to be out there in free agency to grab.
No, you're not going to get him out there. But I strongly recommend if you do have him, you know, put him in your lineup unless you have some studs ahead of him that, you know, are just so good. But for sure, he's a hell of a flex play. Hell of a flex play. You know, fantasy football, I think, interesting enough, What I always look, it's ahead on schedule. And now, you know, we have the waiver wire today. Today's a Tuesday. So I don't know if anybody's going to really take advantage of this. But throughout, everybody's hot on this kid Jones now.
Yes.
Quarterback, young guy, Duke University, played for a terrible team.
Led the Giants to a comeback, had all kinds of good statistics.
Doesn't have Barkley.
Yeah.
I looked at his schedule.
If he's not already on the team, people are going to be rushing out.
They're
going to
be grabbing him. And I say, stay the hell away from him.
Why?
Because his schedule moving forward is brutal. I mean, he's going to have a tough schedule. He's got New England. And, you know, Belichick's going to
take him out.
It's going to take him
Take him away.
He's going to take everything away that he likes. And it's just bottom line is, you know, he's going to be a great quarterback. I think he's going to be productive, but I wouldn't break the bank to get him at all.
A great quarterback, a serviceable quarterback,
no,
a good quarterback,
a
an average quarterback?
I think
quarterback.
He's going to be a very good quarterback. I mean, in today's NFL, you need to be mobile. He is.
Yeah.
I saw him play against the Hurricanes, and I was always amazed by him. I thought he had tremendous. And the big thing that people would say back then is, how is this Duke guy burning us? He was accurate. Everybody was covered, he took off and ran. I mean, the guy is a hell of a quarterback. And I just, you know, I didn't think it was going to really move to the NFL the way it did. But again, it was against Tampa.
I have not actually watched him play.
I saw
the
whole game.
So does he have an it factor?
He does. He does. But again, it was Tampa.
Right.
I mean, if he did that against New England, I would go, wow.
More than a while, probably.
Yeah, oh my God, they got an NFL Hall of Famer. but they did it against Tampa. Tampa's defense is pathetic. I wouldn't break the bank for this kid. I think if I had to pick a quarterback that I would love right now, there's a guy in Washington that's not even playing that I would keep my eye on.
Haskins.
Mm-hmm. Washington right now is ninth in the league in passing with a pretty bad quarterback.
Keenum.
Yes. I think that given the situation, given the fact that he's got already a relationship with some of those guys out there, some of the receivers, I think that with Terry, wasn't it Terry Mc...
Terry McLaurin was a good pickup in free agency for me, but then I had a need for substituting out my Baltimore defense because mm-hmm. they were going to be facing Kansas City.
And you cut him.
And so I picked him up, and then I had to turn around and cut him again.
That's a hell of a player. He's a top 10 receiver this year. And guess what university he played at?
Ohio State.
Yeah, third round pick. And I don't like Ohio State, but you know what?
I know you don't like Ohio State.
I can't stand Ohio State when you go around stealing championships, but that's, you know.
Yeah. Paying the refs, whatever that was.
Yeah, that's the robbery at the desert. The bottom line is this guy is, I think there's a connection, obviously a connection there, and I think that those receivers are darn good. Now, you know, we have to see if, what's happening moving forward, when they're going to give him his chance, but it's a matter of when, not if.
Yeah.
So if you're in a league that
they keep losing, and the whole crowd is going to be chanting his name, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And now, you know, sooner or later, a team like that that's 0-3 needs, and let's hope they put him in and they win a couple of games so that we can move ahead of them in the draft.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are my two little fantasy tips. As far as do you have
this
anything?
Week.
Yeah, you have anything to say fantasy wise?
I don't. I'm gonna make you the fantasy expert. And
yeah, and Scott, I gotta give Scott credit because Scott was the one who got me. I used to hate fantasy. I used to think, how am I ever gonna cheer for a Jet?
Yeah,
or a Patriot, or anybody in the NFL that's not a Dolphin. Well, I gotta say, if it wasn't for fantasy, football would be really difficult right now.
Yes.
It's really a lifeline for. Matter of fact, it would have been
Dolphins fans
last
to
year.
Stay interested in the NFL.
Yeah, I actually watch games now because I have an interest.
Yep.
Either I'm rooting for somebody or rooting against somebody.
And we do get the benefit of what the game was originally invented for.
Yes.
Right. Studying mm-hmm. the talents of players on other teams
and evaluating talent and pulling the trigger at the right time.
Yep.
which, you know, are things that we're going to talk about. I think in future episodes, we could talk a little bit about, you know, how I approach this.
Looking in advance. Yeah, looking in advance. Making your moves well ahead of time to beat other people to them.
To try to beat the waiver wires, to try to anticipate before the guy blows up.
Yep.
Because it's too late. You have the whole world going after him.
Yep.
You know? So yeah, that's it, Scott. I hope we have a what do you want to see in the game this weekend for our Dolphins?
I just want to see improvement. I want to see, especially Amen. In the second half, make yeah. second half adjustments.
A point, a safety,
score something in the second half. Don't mm-hmm. just fold up the tent and let them steamroll us in the second half. Mm-hmm. Fight, keep fighting. Have a little taste of success here and there. Something we can point to and say, this is better than it was.
And do you want to see the game within how many points? Does that matter?
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I just want to see the team play hard. I want to see them finish plays, and I want to see the mental errors diminishing.
Yes.
You know, these
the drops have to stop.
I mean, Grant cannot. You can't be dropping punts. You can't be.
Can we
dropping.
Take away that contract?
I mean, they should have had a punt dropping clause, but you know you got to see the team move forward on that. You can't have Sanders missing a cheap shot field goal.
No,
those things that cannot be happening, because those are the things that we actually thought were strength.
Yes, the most solid guy we have, maybe our yeah. kicker.
Our kicker.
Yes.
And that's got to end. And I got to
It's like an infectious disease spreading.
And we've had a good trend in penalties. I think last game was 5 penalties, which is acceptable.
All right.
It's acceptable. I mean, especially for a team playing
yes.
with where we are.
That's the one thing that's an improvement over the Gase era. The
a
penalties.
Tremendous improvement.
Yep.
I mean, tremendous improvement.
And we got to credit coaching for that.
Yeah, that is a feather in the cap to the coaching staff.
Yep.
That those penalties are down, and a little creativity and offense will be really greatly appreciated. I would love to see, you know, at least one good thing about Gase, and we bag on Gase all the time.
It's fun.
But Gase, yeah, it is fun. But Gase would pull off these little trick plays once in a while.
Okay.
You know, and that's something I like to see happen this weekend. Just. One nice trick play just to show that we're giving the effort to try to be creative and score.
So, Alex, despite this whole situation, mm-hmm. I enjoy doing the podcast.
It's awesome,
on
man.
Tuesday nights. Let's keep it up.
We're gonna
keep it going.
We're going to keep it fun.
Let's keep it interesting.
In a rough year. We're
yep.
going to keep it fun, and we got to realize and not lose our focus on the target, which is that number one pick. And as the season goes on, we got to be saying, is it going to be Tua? Is it going to be that kid Love at Utah
yeah.
State?
We have to do some analysis of these players.
I think next week we should dive into that, and then we prepare for that and take a look at who would we pick number one at this stage. And let's see what happens in college this weekend. Because also injuries could play a big part of this.
Sure could.
God forbid none of these guys get hurt. But, you know, let's take a look at that and
All right.
keep it going.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, buddy.
This Sunday, the Miami Dolphins are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Are you ready for war? The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolphans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page, as well as, if Alex ever lives up to it, a presence on FinHeaven message boards. We'd like to thank the band Tartanic for allowing us to use their music up to this point. We'll probably continue to use a little bit of the bagpipes and drums here and there. They're a great band. See them if you can. Henceforth, you're going to be hearing a lot of great rock and roll mixed in with the bumpers and some little intermissions here and there. Adelita's Way is a fantastic rock band. If you don't know who they are, look them up on Spotify or YouTube. Seriously, they are one of my favorite bands. Don't miss them live. They put on a great show.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!